Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is the second lesson that we're going to present on the answer that Cornelius gave to the Apostle Peter. When Peter arrived at his house, he was sent for by Cornelius, and Peter asked him, "For what reason have you sent for me?" Well, Cornelius told him he wanted to hear the whole counsel of God. And many times when preachers preach, they may be preaching just exactly what people have a right to expect and what God tells him to preach. The Word of God is his message, but it's not always wanted. And particularly is that true sometimes when preachers preach against worldliness and the sins of the world. Now, there was a time, and I know from experience, when those who professed to be gospel preachers would not openly condone such things as alcoholic beverages and modern lascivious dancing and immodest clothing and such as that. Now they're in the pulpits sometimes by the score. It's become so unpopular to transgress the worldly habits of some members that the preacher places his livelihood, his place of residence, his reputation, his ability to provide for his family, he puts all that on the line every time he preaches God's truth on these subjects. And many behave as if the preacher's done something wrong if he dares to do what God says he must. They would prefer that he ignore sin, that he dodge sin, even deny that sin is sin, rather than to hear some of their practices reviewed in light of the New Testament. Now, when error is preached from the pulpit, why, it can be quickly dealt a blow by the Word of God. But the preacher that exposes it leaves himself open to a barrage from some people. Faithful gospel preachers in recent years have been pounded if they dare to warn brethren of liberalism and the modern versions and cultism and the necessity of having authority from the Scripture for what is taught and what is practiced. Brethren don't usually mind hearing about idolatry being condemned, so long as their idol's not included. And they may applaud the condemnation of lying or even murder because they're not guilty of that. But let the whole counsel of God be preached. That sometimes becomes another story with some people. But why have a preacher? Why have a preacher who will not preach both the positive and negative parts of the Word of God? Why would one want only those parts that soothe and comfort, but omit those parts that can disturb and arouse? Since it's all the will of God, do we really want the will of God? Do we want men in the pulpit to simply serve mush when the souls of people are dying from spiritual malnutrition? Do we only want preachers who pour out eloquent emotion? Friend, if your loved one was sick and you called the doctor, you would expect him to point out what was the trouble and to prescribe the remedy. Now, if we're so concerned about the physical welfare of our loved ones, why are we not so equally concerned about the spiritual welfare of people and want a preacher to point out the trouble and prescribe God's remedy? You want the doctor to tell you what must be done, even if it means making sacrifices, even if it's going to demand some changes. Why are we not that way about the truth that a gospel preacher preaches? Are you among those people who would have the preacher to be apologetic for the narrowness of truth? You know, some people complain about the gospel being too narrow. There are some preachers that preach as if they're apologetic for its narrowness. Astounding as it may be, suggestions have been offered that such be done so as to make the truth not appear too demanding. Now, on what basis does there anyone speak against the Word of God? Then try to justify himself in apologizing for the Word of God being too hard? Why, that's nothing short of heresy. Yes, there are times when the truth hurts, particularly when our lives are running against the truth. But when the preacher preaches, we have a right and we ought to have the desire that he tell us the truth. When you hear a sermon, the first and overriding question regarding any sermon is it the truth according to the Bible? Now, when it is not, then you can take book, chapter, and verse and show that it's not the truth and it's supposed for error. But when it is the truth, now whether that appeals to us at first or not, we ought to be in every effort to believe it and to obey it. No preacher of our acquaintance expects every person to obey the gospel. Now we wish they would, certainly. We don't expect that. The Lord didn't expect that. We know that some will treat the truth with indifference. Others will openly rebel against it. But woe be to that man or that woman, that boy or that girl, who will attack a sermon, but fail to accompany that attack with a thus saith the Lord to justify that attack. Anyone does himself an injustice to wage war against the truth. I repeat to you, dear listener, the first and overriding question with any sermon, is it the truth according to the Bible? Now, when people have the same desire as Cornelius had, they'll rejoice and be thankful that someone reveals to them the will of God, regardless of how it applies. Cornelius wanted to know the will of God. Now, people, of course, react differently when truth is preached. Some run from it. Some vow that they're not going to allow themselves to hear that anymore. Some fight against it. Some, of course, just ignore it. Some pout beneath the pressure of it. And some are unwilling to commit themselves one way or the other. But fortunately and thankfully, some believe that truth. They obey it. They love it. They stand for it. They'll fight for it. They'll defend it. They'll live by it. They're not ashamed of it. That was the attitude of Cornelius, and that's the attitude that we ought to have. We often hear and read of what is called the preacher shortage, and this is depressing. We see preachers having to uproot their families and their ties of friendship and go first hither, there, and yon because of the whines and the whims of sinful people that don't want to follow the truth and create disturbances about it. They inspire antagonism against the preacher. They want to get him what they say, we want to get him fired, making life so miserable for him that he and his family don't want to stay at a given place anymore. Now, these things happen because some don't really love the truth. Some don't want the preacher to tell it like it is. And their remedy to their problem was like the Salome remedy, the Herodias treatment, like they treated John the Baptist. Get rid of the preacher. And thinking that that's going to get rid of the truth that they don't like. And there have been leaderships that have bowed beneath the pressure and the contention of sinful people and sacrificed the preacher, they say, in order to keep peace. But they've sacrificed the truth at the same time. Some preachers have to move from congregations and because they say that will get rid of the preacher or get rid of the problem. But friend, the problem remains because the problem wasn't the preacher. The problem wasn't his sermons. The problem was because people didn't have the disposition of Cornelius. And many congregations have had to learn the hard way that moving the preacher does not always remove the problem. The problem remains because the problem is the self-will of those who are sinful. Some preachers, of course, they see the storm clouds gathering and they know it's but a matter of time that they're going to have to move on. And they know from experience that many members have such little consideration for the preacher and his family that they consider the preacher expendable. Preachers are dismissed or they're made so discouraged that they leave because the leadership won't stand with them. but will go along with that disturbing element that really does not want the preacher to preach the whole counsel of God. You see, friend, preachers are, believe it or not, human beings, and they can just take so much of this kind of treatment. But most will stand and fight for the truth until it becomes very obvious that they're not going to be successful. Now, you will understand what I've been doing. I'm defending the preacher. You better know I'm defending the gospel preacher, who will stand for the truth because there are those that will stand against him because they don't like the truth. But preachers need the support of the leadership and the membership. They can't function without it, not very well, but they're not always blessed with the support they deserve. But they have no alternative but to stand for the truth, regardless of what cost it may to themselves. Now, preachers need to be warned. There are going to be times when brethren will not want the truth any more than some others. Some years ago, we determined to preach the gospel and to uphold it with a thus saith the Lord, and we have not wavered from that one bit. We have encountered opposition from time to time from the dancers and the drinkers and the smokers and the liars, etc., etc., but we shall not abandon the standard of truth for any denominational clergyman, for any sin-sick Christian, for anybody. When a preacher goes to the pulpit, he must do what God expects. And if he does not, then he will jeopardize his own salvation. But friend, when all the forces of evil and error have expended their power to suppress the truth that preachers are supposed to preach, the truth will stand, and those that preach it and live by it, they also will stand. And when the truth is preached, we ought to be pleased. It's the truth that will make us free. Without that truth, we cannot be saved. We want people who will tell us what the Bible has to say without addition or subtraction. We need the authority of the Word of God. And this is what most of the religious world is abandoning. They want to follow their creeds and their catechisms and their disciplines and their feelings and their ancestors and all of that sort of stuff. We can know what the truth is by studying the Bible, the Word of God. You know, when Peter was called to go to the house of Cornelius, he really didn't know what all he might expect there. But when he asked Cornelius, "Why have you sent for me?" it must have gladdened his heart to hear Cornelius say, "We want to know what is commanded of God." Cornelius was interested in his salvation. He wasn't interested in the theories of men. He wasn't interested in the doctrines of men. He wasn't interested in the churches of men. He had the attitude, "We are all here before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." And I'm asking in these lessons, is this why you want a preacher? Well, we trust that it is. And I would simply encourage you, the next time one stands before you and professes to be a preacher, is he really preaching the Bible? Is he preaching what book, chapter, and verse says is the truth? If he's not, then he's not a faithful preacher of the Word, and you don't want to obey what he teaches. But when he shows to you from the Bible that what he is saying is the truth, give him your support. He deserves it. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.